I'm going to read now. So if you have a Bible, you can turn in it to Romans and chapter 5. So this is a letter written to the church in Rome in the first century by the Apostle Paul. And he's writing and he's explaining to them the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. And so Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 6 to 11. Again, if you've got a Bible, follow along. If not, it's going to appear now on the screen while I read it. So there it is. Romans 5, verses 6 to 11. This is what Paul writes. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So there's our reading, and that's the passage that we're going to be thinking about together now for a short while. So, Good Friday. What is good about Jesus dying? What's good about the cross? Well, it's only as you understand the answer to those questions that you really understand the message of the Bible. The events of Easter, that first Good Friday, that first Easter Sunday morning, they're the heart of the Bible's message. The cross is the heart of why Jesus came into the world. So at Christmas, we think about his coming into the world. We think about Emmanuel, God with us, the wonder that God becomes one of us, enters our world, born in that stable in Bethlehem. But Easter brings us to the reason that he came, why he came into the world, the purpose of his coming, and that is he came to die. He came to go to the cross, to deal with our sin, and then conquer death by rising from the dead. And so on this Good Friday morning, I just want us to use these words of the Apostle Paul and use them to ask and answer three questions, three simple questions. Question number one, why do we need the cross? Question number two, why do we have the cross? Question number three, what was accomplished at the cross? So just think about those together for a few moments this Good Friday morning. So first of all, why we need the cross? Look at verse 8 if you have a Bible. It says this, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that first thing these verses are telling us is that the cross is for us. It's about us. It's done for us. Now you might say, well, why do I need the cross? And the answer of this passage and the answer of the whole Bible is that you and I need the cross because of who we are, what we are, and what we've done. So as I was saying to the children, Paul uses at least four words or four expressions in this passage to describe what we're like. So in verse 6, we're described, if you look at the beginning of verse 6, as being without strength. And then at the end of that verse, we're described as ungodly. Then if you look down to verse 8, we're described as sinners. And if you jump to verse 10, we're described as enemies. Not the most flattering description, of course, but they make clear why we need the cross. So let's just think about those for a few moments. It might not be very comfortable, but we need to understand it. So Paul says four parts to that. He says in verse 6, when we were without strength, that means powerless. Now, you might consider yourself quite a strong person. I don't know. You know, physically and mentally, you might be at the moment. But when it comes to making your way to heaven, when it comes to dealing with your sin, when it comes to getting back to God, you are without strength. You are powerless. You are helpless. So am I. We can't do it. Do you think God would send his son to die if we had the strength and ability to save ourselves? We need the cross because we are without strength. We are helpless, powerless to save ourselves, to deal with our sin. But it gets worse because at the end of that verse, verse 6, Paul describes us as ungodly. Now, to be ungodly means, first of all, to be unlike God. So what's God like? Well, God is totally pure and totally holy. He loves all that's right and always does what's right. He's faithful, he's true, he's full of love. And if we're honest, that isn't us. I mean, we can do good things, of course. We do noble things, and we're seeing that around us at the moment. But we know that our lives are full of unkind words and full of self-centered actions. We're generally ruled not by what's right and true, but by what we want. Ungodly. And ungodly also means that we don't want God. We want to be gods of our own lives and do our own thing. And then there's another word in verse 8. So we've got without strength, and we've got ungodly, and we've got in verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's a sinner? Are you a sinner? Am I a sinner? Well, the Bible says we are. Here's what the Bible says. God made us. God created this world. He made you and me. He made us in his image. He made us moral, accountable beings with a sense of right and wrong, with a conscience. And God has put us in his world. He said, here's how I want you to live. I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love one another. I want you to walk in this world with me. And yet we haven't done that. We've sinned. We've broken God's laws. We've gone our own way. We've done our own thing. We've ignored God. We put ourselves first. That's really what sin is. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That God is a just God. Sin must be punished. God is angry with sin. These verses speak about God's anger. Now, you might not like the idea of God being angry, but we get angry sometimes, don't we? When we hear, rightly angry, when we hear about wrong things, you hear about somebody doing something terrible to somebody else, and you feel anger, and so you should. And so does God about all wrong. So that's why we need the cross. Because we're sinners and we need our sin to be dealt with, or we're in serious trouble. And then there's one other word. I know this may not be very comfortable, but here it is. We're described as enemies. Verse 10, if when we were enemies, that means we're in rebellion against God. We're fighting God. We're going our own way and doing our own thing. So you might say, well, Hugh, this is a bit hard. I thought it was Good Friday. But you see, if we're going to understand the cross and understand why we need it, we need to be honest about who we are. You see, this is why we need the cross. And this is why God has gone to the cross, because he's gone there in our place. Jesus was ready to be the sin bearer, to stand in our place. Jesus was one who never sinned. He was never ungodly. He kept God's law perfectly. He's the only person who didn't deserve God's judgment. And yet he was ready to say, I'll stand in their place. I'll be their substitute. I'll take their sin. I'll bear the penalty for it. That's why in the blackness we read, didn't we? He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God was punishing his son in our place. That's why we need the cross. Second question, why we have the cross? You know, we know we need it. We know why we need it. But Why do we have it? Why has God provided it? I mean, in light of what we've considered about ourselves, why would God die for us? Well, why would God the Father send his Son to the cross? I mean, after all, as Paul says, look in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would be prepared to die. Well, righteous and good are not ways that Paul's described us. So there's only one answer to why we have the cross, and it's this, the love of God. Verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's one thing that the cross is shouting out. It's love. It's God saying to us and to this sad, broken world, I love you. That's the Bible's message. The Bible tells us lots of things about God. It tells us that he's eternal. It tells us he's one in three. He's three in one. He's one God, but he exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It tells us he's holy and just and true and pure. But it also tells us he's a God of love. And God's love is supremely shown in the coming of his Son into the world as our Savior. The Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's God's love like? It's surprising, isn't it? That comes out in our passage. You know, perhaps for a good person, someone would dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is a different love. It's like no other. It's love to the loveless. It's love to the unworthy. There's no more staggering sight in all the universe, in a sense, than the cross. And God's love demonstrated there. That's the second thing about God's love. It's a demonstrated love. He hasn't just said that he loves us and sung us a love song. He's shown it. He's proved it in the cross. God's shown his love to us, of course, in many ways, in the life that he gives us, in all that we have and all that we enjoy, but it's supremely in the cross that we see the love of God as Jesus takes our place and dies for our sin. And God's love is a just love. So his love means he doesn't just sweep our sins under the carpet, pretend it doesn't matter. No, he deals with it. So God's love is shaped by his justice and his righteousness and his holiness. So that at the cross, God's love and God's justice meet, his mercy and his righteousness meet. So we look at the cross and Jesus being punished and we go, well, look how holy God is. Look how serious sin is. But we also look at the cross and we go, look how loving God is. That he's ready to stand in our place in the person of his Son and died for us. So that's why we need the cross, because we're sinners. Why we have the cross, because God is loving. And then one last thing, what is accomplished at the cross? What was accomplished at the cross? Well, if you look at the passage, you'll see that Paul uses two words in this section that help us understand what was accomplished at the cross. There's the word in verse 9, which is the word justified, and the word in verse 10, which is reconciled. Let's just think about those two words for a moment. First of all, the word justified. That's a long word, isn't it, boys and girls? Well, let me explain it. The word that Paul uses, it's a legal word from the law courts. So it takes us into the courtroom and it puts us in the dock awaiting the verdict on our lives. Only there's two great problems. Problem number one, the judge is none other than God himself, the God who is righteous, the God whose standard is perfection, the God who knows everything about me and all the secrets of my life. The second problem is, as we've seen, we're all guilty. We're all sinners. And yet to be justified, listen to this, means to be declared not guilty, To be justified means to be declared righteous in the eyes of God and in the eyes of his law. And that's what God does for all who come to him in repentance and trust in his Son. He justifies us. He declares us not guilty, righteous in his sight. And he's able to do that because Jesus has dealt with our sin. Jesus has paid the penalty. Jesus has not only paid the penalty, he's not only paid for our sin, but he's provided in his perfect life a righteousness for us. It's like a great swap. We give Jesus our sin, he gives us his perfection. And God looks on us through Jesus, and he's able to declare us righteous in his sight. And he's able to do that and remain just because our sin has been paid for. The penalty has been met in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a great joy. If we're Christians this morning, if we've trusted Jesus Christ, that's true of us. God, we're justified. God has made this once for all declaration about us that we're not guilty. We're righteous. There's nothing to pay. Justified. And then there's the second word in verse 10, reconciled. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled. So our sin not only makes us guilty before God, it separates us from God. We were made to know God. We were made to be friends with God. We were made in the image of God to walk with him and enjoy this world in relationship with him. But beginning with Adam and Eve, our sin has separated us from God. And yet through the cross and through the forgiveness and pardon that we receive, all that separated us from God is dealt with. And so we can come back to God. We can be reconciled to God. Jesus' death is sometimes referred to as an atonement, act one-ment, a way of bringing us, making us one with God again. And what does it mean to be reconciled to God? It means complete and total forgiveness. It means God welcomes us and receives us and accepts us and adopts us and brings us into his family and makes us his children and loves us with a never-ending love. That's the heart of what the Bible calls eternal life. It's bringing us back to what we were made for, a relationship with God. And all that is accomplished by the cross, our justification and our reconciliation. And so, again, if you're a Christian watching on this morning, that's true of you, isn't it? You've been reconciled to God. You've been brought back to him. You know him by faith. And one day we'll see him by sight. That's why it's Good Friday. That's why, as Christians, we glory in the cross. We recognize this is the heart of the message of the gospel. And so, if you're not a Christian, you're watching on this morning, and you're not yet a Christian, what is the message of the Bible to you? Well, it's this. It's a call, really. Or a command. And it's this: be reconciled to God. We find that in the Bible, those very words. This is the call: be reconciled to God. God has made this way of reconciliation. He's made a way of forgiveness in his Son, and he calls you to come to him, to confess your sin, to tell him that what he says about you is true, and to cast yourself on Jesus Christ, to ask him to be your Savior, your Lord, to trust in his death on the cross. And God promises that if you do that, you will be forgiven. You will have peace with God. You will be reconciled to him. He will have you in his family. And you can be safe and sure and confident in this life and in the life to come that you are his. So why wouldn't you want that? Jesus says, come to me, pray to me, call out to me. And that's what every Christian's done. Christians aren't people who think they're good. Christians are people who know they're bad and know the one, the only one who can deal with that. That's what the cross is all about. That's why we need it. We're sinners. That's why God has provided it. He's a loving God. That's what he's accomplished in it. Our justification and our reconciliation. So come to him and come back on Sunday morning and hear of what happened on that third day, that death has been defeated. Jesus made a great claim we're going to be thinking about on Sunday morning. I am the resurrection and the life. Most extraordinary claim that was backed up by his resurrection from the dead.